Today, we're going to hear the first window into your care, an occasional series in which health reporter Kara Lofton speaks with people working in some little-known aspects of healthcare. Kathy Zafran from Residential Treatment Center Crittenden Services in Wheeling discusses the work she is doing to understand how to address the complex trauma so many West Virginians in poverty wrestle with.
Poverty itself, standing alone, isn't traumatic. The stress of being poor and growing up, particularly in rural areas with limited resources, can add to trauma. The stress on the family members and the caregivers in a family environment do add to the whole idea of trauma. The higher the stress level in the family, the greater the impact on the child.
So one thing that we've been hearing a lot of buzz around recently is this idea of adverse childhood experiences. What are those exactly?
Adverse childhood experiences are basically things that occur from birth to age 18. This was a study done by two medical doctors, Dr. Felitti and Dr. Anda, out of San Diego, through Kaiser Permanente in the late 1990s. And basically what they did is they looked at the correlation between childhood adversity and long-term outcomes of health for adults. And after they completed the study that had over 17,000 recipients, the data shows a direct correlation between adversity in childhood and health outcomes long term.
So in West Virginia, how do we score in terms of adverse childhood experiences?
We were the highest scores in all categories. It's just a whole huge group of physical and mental health issues that compile and correlate to the higher the score is on the ACEs.
So talk to me a little bit about some of the work that Crittenden is doing around trauma and poverty.
Well, we've begun probably about 7 years ago really making a commitment that our clinical work would be founded more on the basis of what we call trauma care. One of the things I think we've found, managing a residential treatment facility for young girls from 12 to 18 years of age, we see them more and more acute cases, young women who come from environments where they've had multiple abuses, multiple placements, detention centers, foster homes, other residential treatment facilities, and you kind of hit a point where you have to say, what's going on? How can we focus on this in a way that can help them heal? But suddenly, when we started looking at this through a trauma lens, and we started to look at it from the perspective of what is happening inside the human brain during these peak ages of development that cause these adolescents to be so dysregulated? If you're in a chaotic environment and your brain is developing and your basic needs aren't being met, the part of your brain you exercise the most that connects the strongest will be your fight, flight, or freeze. That can be a saving grace, but long term, if that is the majority of your brain activity, you can be a much more devastating long-term impact, because the other parts of the brain regarding the whole prefrontal cortex and the development of the brain that helps us use our reasoning, good judgment, the parts of our brain that help us with our emotional response is delayed in development. It isn't connected as quickly. So when we get these kids in school, especially that universal pre-K grade 1 or 2, we're seeing these very raw emotions, and these kids are very much struggling to adapt to a classroom environment. So if they don't adapt at those ages and have success, the long-term outcome, it's residential treatment type care. These are kids who really struggle. This is where you can find a firm connection with kids who can't make good decisions, who are struggling with learning, who are drug-seeking. So the goal here at Crittenden has been to look at this from the perspective of how do we manage kids when we're looking at fairly severe trauma, and how do we help them heal, and how do we help actually remap the brain to support a change that can help them heal and adapt and calm and self-regulate.
So can you describe what you mean by a chaotic home environment, and why does this kind of home have such a dramatic impact on a child's development?
In many areas in West Virginia, we are looking at multi-generational poverty. Within the environment of poverty are many life stressors. I always tell the story about my dad will tell me that he grew up poor. He was one of 11 children. But the beauty of it was they never knew they were poor. They had all of their needs met, both physically and emotionally. Unfortunately, in many areas across the country, families are suffering due to poverty at levels that are creating high stress within their home environments. The lack of employment. When you think of your basic needs need to be met, food, housing, clothing, when those issues aren't being met, it's a much more chaotic, stressful environment. Children, as we know, react very are very sensitive to how their caregivers are emotionally. So if you have caregivers who are struggling with unemployment, very rural environments, right now we're very riddled with drug addiction, drug use. We have many families who are cooking crystal meth, using drugs, using the opiates and heroin, etc. And their ability to be there and supportive and nurturing for their young children is severely suffering.
So you mentioned that these kids have a hard time adapting to the structure that elementary school brings. What can be done to help these kids who are coming from very chaotic environments succeed in school and in as they develop?
Okay, the first most important thing is early intervention. The earlier we can intervene, the better. We tend to apply services when everything is blowing out of the water. It would be so much more imperative if we are looking at services with the youngest children we can get. For us, it's when they enter school, which would be the universal pre-K or kindergarten age. Within the school environment, there are a variety of ways that teachers and educators can learn to make their environment much more trauma-informed and sensitive to the children and how they're adapting into that classroom environment. And that can be done in a variety of different ways. Something as simple as helping the child when they come in the morning. Are they hungry? I mean, we can go back to the most basic human needs. Do they have something in the school to eat if they didn't get any food at home? Can the teacher speak to them in a way that is soft and soothing? Normal classroom type environments can be really disruptive and frightening for a child who comes into school very hypersensitive and overreactive. For a lot of these kids, the sound of a bell, the loud sound of a teacher's voice can trigger behaviors. So teaching teachers how to recognize these in children and to create environments that are more nurturing and healing can be very beneficial for these kids when they come into the classroom. The other really important thing is, how do we connect the families? We can work with children in the classroom until the cows come home, but if the home environment stays chaotic and the family members are struggling greatly, there will be little change in the child because they go back home at the end of the day and they go back to whatever is going on in the home.
Do you have any data or indication that your efforts to disrupt the cycle of trauma and poverty have been successful?
Yeah, actually, we're working with WVU. They have been doing program evaluation on our trauma-informed elementary school program. And this summer produced, after 2 years of data collection, our first set of data. We utilize an evaluation tool that's nationally known, and the first set of data is showing that we have made, there's evidence of statistical significance in the implementation of our program in comparison to control group work. So we're pretty excited about it. It's a very positive move going forward.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. We want to hear from you as we put together these interviews. Do you or someone you know work in a little known but interesting area of healthcare? Send your ideas to klofton@wvpublic.org or on Twitter @KaraLofton.